أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will now look at the tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf, ayat 106 to 110. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ذلك جزاؤهم جهنم بما كفروا. That is the recompense of hell because they disbelieved. وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَرُسُلِي هُزُوًا And they made a mockery of my ayat or verses and my messengers. What was their life? In the world they used to mock the ayahs of Allah and they mocked the Prophet. Today people do not mock him as a person, alhamdulillah, but they mock his ways, his sunnah. They mock and ridicule and look down at the people following the sunnah. For example, if they see someone with a beard, they start mocking them. Or someone who wears their trousers above their ankles, they start laughing. This is how a person can mock the Prophet. And when someone makes fun of those following his sunnah, how does one make fun of ayat or verses of Allah? When anyone jokes about the commands of Allah and they say, where is a certain matter written in the Quran, not knowing that it is in the Quran, they make fun about it and they question without any knowledge. If you look at the mention of Riya, showing off, when Shaddad bin Aus was about to pass away, he said, the thing that I fear the most for this ummah is doing riya, and this is a hidden shirk called shirk-e-khafi. Sufyan Khawri states, this is the hidden desire when a person wants to be commended or praised for his good deeds. He waits for praises when they expect people to praise them for doing work of deen, as people praise the person conducting a halaqa. When it finishes, people find it necessary to compliment and consider it an obligation or a form of payment to the person doing the halaqa. Just as one sees a bride, people feel that they have to compliment the bride. So if a person has knowledge of deen or religion and desires that people constantly come to them so they can tell them all they know and do it to receive compliments for their knowledge and to gain a following, then this is not correct. The Prophet ﷺ stated, O people, save yourself from Jubul Hazan, well of grief, which is a name for a blind well. When people asked what that was, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it was a valley in hell from which hell itself sought refuge from it 400 times every day. The people asked, O Prophet, who will enter it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the scholars who do good deeds to show off. They gain knowledge so they can show their superiority over the people, and so people come to them and they become the center of attention and gain popularity. They do good deeds to gain recognition from people, so they will not be ones to go to Jannah. They are the ones Allah mentions, يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنَعًا. They used to think that they were doing good. Well, what is really prepared for them? The consequences of their deeds is very bad. They will be among those who are criminals. A person who thought he was working so hard in this world, in doing good deeds, it will be a shock in the hereafter. All their striving, all their hard work and effort of fasting, doing tasbihs, waking at night to pray, abstaining from all the bad things, and then, in the end, ends up in hell. He didn't enjoy in the world, then ultimately ended up in hell, only because there was no sincerity. He did everything for show. This is not a small matter. This is something that destroys all good deeds a person does. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Then those who believed and did righteous deeds. Believing and doing good deeds are mentioned together more than 70 times in the Quran. Is there anywhere in the Quran where it says Jannah is for those who just believe? No. Why not? Because good actions are the proof of faith and belief. For example, if someone says, I truly believe, if they believe, they should do good deeds. When someone has belief upon something, for example, if I was told there will be a snowstorm tomorrow, and I truly believe that, then would I just sit around and not do anything to prepare for it? No. Rather, the person would get up and go shopping and make sure that they have everything that they need, and they would make preparations for the storm. But if they don't believe in what the weatherman tells them, then they wouldn't prepare for it. Likewise, when someone believes in something, then a person doesn't just stay still, but does actions to show his or her belief. So whoever has belief that they will have to meet with Allah one day, and that there is a day of resurrection and gathering, and have to give account for their actions, would they just live their life unaffected, or making preparations for that day? Some people openly say, I cannot change my actions, so why should I even bother burning the Quran? Even though they say they are Muslims, but they do not want to be reminded what Allah expects from a believer. They should show an ayah as proof from the Quran that says only believing is enough. How can one prove faith unless they follow up with the necessary good actions? A person is not trustworthy in their faith until they do the deeds required for their faith. So iman or faith and righteous deeds are a must. What are the righteous deeds? Will a person decide for themselves what deeds are righteous? Righteous and good deeds are those that are verified from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those that have sincerity and done only for the sake of Allah. If anyone does deeds considering it righteous by their own standard, it may be that they are not those in the Sunnah, then it will not be a righteous deed, no matter how much we call it big or righteous ourselves. A person cannot define themselves what they consider as good and righteous deeds. A person cannot say, my heart is clean and my intentions are good. I am better than those who pray. This person is deceiving themselves. Shaitan has truly tricked them. If a person is a Muslim but has no regard in observing the obligations, such as hijab, praying or fasting, or coming to the Quran, or obeying any other commands of Allah, then this is only a deception. Because faith or iman without required actions is of no value. If anyone qualified to go to Jannah with just believing, then Iblis would qualify because he too believed in Allah and did not deny in him. Rather, he made du'as and asked from Allah. He asked Allah to give him respite until the day of Qiyamah. He also knew and believed in the day of resurrection, and he knew Allah is all-able over every matter, and accepted in the might of Allah, then where was the problem? The problem was when Allah commanded, he did not obey. It cannot be that whatever criteria we have in our minds will be enough and accepted. It doesn't matter what we or anyone thinks regarding what is a righteous or an acceptable deed. The one the one who will accept the deeds, one who will judge, the one who is Maliki Yawm al-Din. Only if he consider a deed to be righteous, then it will be accepted. If Allah did not state about something that it is a righteous deed, then we cannot call good and righteous ourselves. So whoever believes and does righteous deeds, then كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا, then for them is the hospitality of جنات الفردوس. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that ask for Firdaus for yourself when you ask for Jannah from Allah, because that is the highest level of Jannah. Its roof is the throne of Ar-Rahman, and from it rivers of Jannah come out. Jannat al-Firdaus is for those people. Here, no description is given about this Jannah. As we read in certain places in the Quran, there will be such homes and such rivers about which fruit such as Roman, which is a pomegranate, and grapes and beautiful wives are mentioned. But this Jannah is not described, because subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Hadith of Qudsi that for my servants I have prepared that which no eye has seen, no ear has ever heard, nor any heart has perceived a thought about it. Which Jannah is this said for? As there are ranks in Jannah, there is no low standard in Jannah, but there are levels. There is one Jannah above another. The highest level is Jannat al-Firdaus. It is such that its blessings no eyes ever saw, no ears ever heard, nor any idea about that Jannah that came into any person's heart. What could be said about it? No person can bring into imagination what it contains. If no thought passed about what could be in it, then how could it be described? Whatever descriptions that are given in the Quran regarding Jannah, with its rivers, wives of dwellers of Jannah, and its fruits, are about other levels of Jannah. We cannot even imagine about this Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Firdaus, that is trees Allah has planted with his own hands. In another hadith, it is mentioned about Jannat al-Firdaus that it is a Jannah Allah made with his hands, not other Jannahs. Its roof will be the throne of Allah, and its dwellers will meet Allah morning and evening. Then how will that be? It cannot be explained. But what is its price? Believing and righteous deeds. But we learn about going to other levels of Jannah with belief and righteous deeds. Here, Jannat al-Firdaus is mentioned. So does one get Jannah of lower level or Jannat al-Firdaus with believing and doing righteous deeds? Aminu wa amilu salihat. Both require this. Then which one does a person get? Some places it mentions Jannah, and here Jannat al-Firdaus is mentioned. Will everyone who believes and does good deeds will go to Jannat al-Firdaus? No. Why is that? What time period does this surah serve as a reminder for, especially? Near the Day of Qiyamah, at the time of fitna and trials of Dajjal, at the time of trials, whoever remains steadfast upon belief and does righteous deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever holds on to my deen at that time would be equal to 50, telling his companions, because living with deen will be as holding on to a flame or a burning coal in their hands. It will be so difficult. So whoever remains firm upon Deen of Islam at that time will be equal to 50. The companions asked, their 50 or 50 people of their time? The Prophet ﷺ said, 50 from you. Many times we wish that we lived in the time of the companions and would have piled heaps of righteous deeds. This is not the case today in this time. And when the time of trials is encountered, if a person remains steadfast upon Deen of Islam, they will gain such ranks. Even if the ranks of 50 companions is not attained, then just even one, at that time when it is extremely difficult, and it will be as if one is holding on to burning coal in their hands while remaining steadfast upon Deen. In that time, who will remain steadfast? Those who do it, for them is Jannat al-Firdaus as Nuzul. Even in faith, not everyone is the same level. Some have faith of high levels. Some have faith with low levels. Likewise, they will get Jannah in different levels. Then whoever believes and does good deeds, as Alhamdulillah, we all pray our salahs. But is the quality of salah the same for everyone? No. Some will have salah of best quality, and then others with lesser quality, and then others with lesser. Likewise, the quality of righteous deeds will vary for everyone. So those with best quality will get best Jannah, and those with average quality of deeds will get an average level, and those who have deeds of lower levels will go to Jannahs of lower levels. Likewise, someone will bring a lot of deeds of best quality, and then someone will only have one deed with the best quality. So this person with only one good quality deed, and the person with many deeds of best quality, they will not be the same. It's not just quantity, but quality, as most people agree. So when we start doing one deed with best quality, we should try to do that for all other deeds as well. For example, if someone prays 2 rak'ahs of best quality, then they should increase it to 4 of good quality, then slowly increase it to 6 rak'ahs, and then 12. We shouldn't limit ourselves and say, I did 2 with the best quality, and that's enough. Yes, it's true that from praying many that are useless and of poor quality, that one should pray 2 of best quality. But we should not feel satisfied with just 2 rak'ahs of salah of best quality in one day. We should increase it to more and more. So first we see quality, then we will also see its quantity. As we learn about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked one day who visited a sick person, who joined in a funeral procession, and who gave charity that day, and other 3 or 4 good deeds that were asked about, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said he did all of them. He didn't say, I will do only one good deed with the best quality, but he did deeds with best quality and did all of them. Likewise, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu will be called from every door of paradise. They are the fortunate ones who will get called from every door of Jannah to enter it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us to that level. Ameen. So we have to do righteous deeds that are best in quality and increase in quantity as well. But even in this, there is a limit, for example, how much we can give in charity. We can make our giving with best in quality to reach at the level of ihsan, as if they see Allah. And if they cannot do that, then remember that Allah is watching them. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا هِوَلَا. One's living in it eternally, and they will not want any change from it. Now, they are just at their nuzul. They do not want a change even in that. We learned, nuzul is the initial welcome and hospitality. This is just the appetizer, and they will say, even this is enough. They will be so happy with even just that. They will not desire anything else. This will be their dream come true. Man will be content with just nuzul and will not have the desire for anything else, because they will have so much even in nuzul, and they will not want any change in it. In this world, people constantly want change. For example, if a person buys a house of 2 bedrooms and they are very happy with it, but after some years the person wishes for a bigger house and says they should buy it at such and such area or location. The house they were so happy to have bought before, now they consider it small. Then when they move into a bigger 3-bedroom house, for example, they think about the backyard and how it should be, and they should have 2 garages or a basement. The requirements and wants increase. Then after that, wants a better one. Similarly for cars, a person wants a better and a better car. Even phones. There is a new phone every year. Then the person goes out and buys this new phone. While a short while later, they want a newer and better one that comes out. Man always wants change. He wants better, then better, always looking for better. But Jannat al-Firdaus is such a place. We cannot think that we will eventually get bored living in the palaces. What will happen? If someone thinks that they will get bored from everything being perfect, no. It's mentioned that a person will never want change, even living after a very long time. There is no getting tired of something or boredom there. In this world, even if someone lives in a palace, they want to go to their summer home or vacation home to relax, even while living in a palace. But in Jannah, it will not be so. There will be such enjoyment that a person will never wish for change. Then how can we think that we will get bored? There will be such perfection there. This will be just the nuzul, an initial welcome, just as refreshments are served to the guests. So better and better will keep coming. Subhanallah, even though the person will not want any change, even then it will keep getting better and better. They will think it will be enough for them. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي. Say to them, O Prophet, if the seas were to become ink for words of Allah. When we stand next to the sea, it seems that it covers the entire earth. We cannot see its limit. لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ. Surely the seas would be exhausted. In Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, if all the trees of the world were cut and made into pens, now how much can a person write with a pen and ink in the amount of small ink pot we can fill pages? So if it were seas, if they were turned to ink, how much could a person write about Allah? If we begin to use up one sea, even if all the seas and oceans were made into ink, and all the pens were made from trees of this world, and the most knowledgeable of scholars were gathered to write with the ink, all the pens constantly writing, and the pens that do not stop writing but continually write, if all the angels write, all the people write, all the jinn write about Allah and His creation, if all the prophets from Adam alayhi salam to Isa alayhi salam write, what would they write? They would write about the kingdom of Allah. How is His kingship? How are His attributes? How are His powers? How is Allah's beauty? And how is His greatness? And how are His treasures? How are His armies? How are His powers? Allahu Akbar. Then if they write about His planning, about His wisdom, how about His might, about His knowledge, even if they write about each creation of Allah, how much writing would that be? If they keep on writing all these matters, even if you look at the tafsir of Quran, there are so many and written about ayat of Allah. Not only about this Quran, what about writing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself? If anyone were to write about his kalima kun, by which he creates, past, present and future, whoever and whatever Allah takes care of, if one continues to write, all the seas would be exhausted, so much so that depths of the seas would be exposed. The ink will finish, but the praise of Allah will not end. And then, if seven more seas or oceans like it are brought and given new pens, and knowledge is given to people to write about Allah, even then it is not in the capacity of the creation to describe and write everything about Allah. Even Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, we cannot describe properly, nor Inna Allaha ala kulli shay'in qadeer, we cannot truly understand. We only know Alhamdulillah because Allah has taught us. We can never properly praise Him as He deserves and as is His due right. We are powerless in doing His proper praise. And is praise what he said for himself? How can we properly praise someone we cannot encompass? Seas will exhaust before we can complete writing words of Allah. قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَذَ كَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي. Before words of Allah are finished, seas will be exhausted. وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدَا. Even if we bring with like it in help more seas in its place, the words of Allah will still not be completed. Bani Israel would say, Torah was enough for them, and there was no knowledge beyond it, thinking that it contained all the knowledge. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do you think that this is all of the knowledge, while the words of Allah are so many, that if the seas were turned to ink, they would be used up. We cannot know about Allah completely, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَدَرَ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. We cannot gain the true estimate or value of Allah as is His right, because if we did, we would not question His decrees, such as why Allah makes so-and-so disabled. What did we understand about Allah? قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after describing about Himself, describes the honor of His Messenger. As they had asked about the companions of the cave and Dhulqarnain, so tell them you are a prophet and a man. The surah began with Allah saying, He is Abd, a slave of Allah. Now here in the end, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told to tell them, I am a man like you, who has the same physical needs, who needs to eat, he needs to drink, he has to breathe, as all of mankind, he is dependent. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would feel hunger, he would feel anger, would feel thirst, would feel hot, and like the rest of men needed to get married. He had children, and he would go to market for necessities. He would get sick. He was born and died as the rest of mankind. Despite this, Quran is telling him to say to people, I am a man or human just like you. Knowing this, can anyone call him Nur, that he is made of light? So whoever says that denies this ayah. Angels are made of Nur. Mankind is not from Nur. So whoever says that denies that he is a man. If anyone does not consider him a man and considers him a nur or light, then they need to correct their aqidah and look at this ayah. Nor anyone should feel as they are dishonoring him by calling him a man and honoring him by calling him nur. No. Whatever is the correct rank of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be given. He cannot be exalted and equaled with Allah in ranking, nor can we reduce his rank, but must give him the rank that Allah gave him. That is that he is a man like the rest of men. But where is the difference? Where he is higher in rank or honor than all of the men. Yuha ilayya is revealed to me. If anyone has a problem with their aqidah regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should read this ayah and correct their misunderstanding. They will understand from this ayah. Because of lack of understanding, we see formation of sects with their own opinions. They consider it a dishonor to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was a man, and the fact that he died, they attest that he didn't die. This is not correct, because only Allah is Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not Al-Hayy. He is a man who was born from a mother and then passed away. But what elevates him from the rest of the mankind? The rest of the mankind doesn't receive wahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by revelation, because of which his rank is elevated, so much so that no people can compare with his rank. But he didn't become a different creation. So what was revealed? Innama ilahukum ilahun wahid. Indeed, your ilah is one ilah. This is the message of his risala, or prophethood. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. So whoever hopes in meeting his Lord should remember that there is only one God or Ilah. At time of Dajjal, he will tell people to consider him God. So people should remember that your Prophet brought the message of Tawheed, and all other Prophets brought the same message, which was that there is only one Ilah. Worship him alone. And remember that you have to go back to him. And do not associate partners with him.